I read from Luke 2, 25 through 40. A man named Simeon was in Jerusalem. He was righteous and devout. He eagerly anticipated the restoration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Led by the Spirit, he went into the temple area. Meanwhile, Jesus' parents brought the child to the temple so that they could do what was customary under the law. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God. He said, "Now, Master, let your servant go in peace according to your word, because my eyes have seen your salvation. You prepared this salvation in the presence of all peoples. It's a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed by what was said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your innermost being too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, who belonged to the tribe of Asher. She was very old. After she married, she lived with her husband for 7 years. She was now an 84-year-old widow. She never left the temple area, but worshiped God with fasting and prayer night and day. She approached at that very moment and began to praise God and to speak about Jesus to everyone who was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Mary and Joseph had completed everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to their hometown Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew up and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was on him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The final simple gift of this season is fitting to talk about here on this final Sunday that we in the church world like to call Low Attendance Sunday. Because we know that it's that time where people are just worn out from the Christmas season, and many take the opportunity to sleep in. I can understand why. Many are also sick. Many are getting over traveling, and there's sort of all sorts of reasons. It just makes sense because we've been so hectic and so full of energy throughout this season, many celebrating Christmas with big families, many with friends, many have other things going on. We had quite an energetic service here on Christmas Eve for those who weren't here. About 47 people and a ton of kids up here shaking their little hearts out with their egg shakers and singing Drummer Boy for the congregation and for Jesus' birthday. And so we've had a lot of energy and a lot of excitement and a lot of praise and worship. And that's all wonderful and beautiful. But as Tangela mentioned earlier, we need both the noise and the praise and the shouts of joy, and we need those times of stillness. We need those times to rest, those times to let everything settle, those times on Christmas Eve night or Christmas night when everybody is in bed and just there with the lights and everything is calm, quiet, peaceful, and you can just soak it all in. Maybe for some, that's what tonight is about, to just relax. Some go out and party and celebrate the new year. A lot of others, many, just sit at home and relax and enjoy this space of transition, to reflect on the previous year, where we've seen God in our lives, to talk about hopes and dreams for the year to come. When we talk about this idea of silence and stillness at Christmas, we might think that we're in the wrong story, because there is the perfect story in the Christmas narrative about Zechariah, who is silent throughout the Christmas season. Zechariah, you might remember, is Elizabeth's husband, a priest, who is the father of John the Baptist. And he does not believe that his wife in her old age, like Sarah, is going to have a child alongside of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so he is cursed with silence. They say it's a curse. I think it may have been the greatest gift he could have received rather than a punishment. I think it was an opportunity for him to spend that time in waiting and preparing for his son's birth, this prophet of the Lord who would announce the coming of Jesus. And he spent all those months in silence in the temple in prayer. And by the time his son was born, he knew clearly what God's desire was for him, for his family, and for his son. He spoke the name that the angels gave him to name their son, John. And he spoke a great prophecy over both John and the Christ child. Now that's a story of silence among a priest, a prophet, a family who is filled with miracles. But I turn us today to this one last story in the Christmas narrative. You'll notice at the very end of that story, we find Jesus growing up. The child grew up and became strong and was filled with wisdom. And then the next time we see him, in Luke's gospel at least, is 12 years later in the temple at Passover. So this is the final story we get of Jesus' young childhood. He's taken to the temple by his parents to dedicate him, much as we might take a child to baptize them in the church. And they find there two particular individuals who are not priests like Zechariah, and not prophets like John, and they're not church workers, they're not anybody in particular significance, which I think is all the more beautiful about this story. This is Simeon and Anna. These are people who have spent their entire life in church, like many here. These are elderly, an elderly man and an elderly woman, a widow of many, many years in Anna, who spent years and years and years sitting in the church, sitting in the synagogue, going to the temple, honoring their traditions, singing their songs, reading their psalms, praying, fasting, waiting, crying out with their people for a Savior, for the one who would come to free them from the darkness and the pain and the suffering of the world. I think many people in churches today across our nation and maybe across the world can relate to Simeon and Anna perhaps more than just about anybody else in the Christmas story. Because most of us, I don't think, have seen a big choir of angels outside of our window singing hallelujah. I don't think most of us have been to an actual manger to see a baby out there in the middle of nowhere. I don't think most of us have experienced all of the excitements of most of the Christmas stories. We don't get foreign wealthy dignitaries coming from afar to bring rich gifts. But we do find ourselves like Simeon and Anna, sitting here in this quiet space, week after week after week, faithful, waiting, anticipating. And that's more than can be said for a lot of people. Now, I personally take a lot of comfort in this story, because the truth is that as church people, sometimes we don't get out much. Sometimes we don't have a lot of friends outside the church. Particularly in ministry, I can say honestly that the majority of people that I hang out with are in ministry of some sort. And yet, in current studies, nearly 40% of the population within 2.5 miles of this building, which is about 11,000 people or 4,500 households, 40% of that, over 4,000 people in a 2.5 mile radius around this building, will likely never step foot in a church throughout the year. These are our neighbors. These are the people we work with. These are the people we see at the restaurants after church. We only meet them in passing, in many cases. But the good news is that while God is very much at work in the community and among those people, if we're not careful, we in the church can miss all of that. We can miss the fact that God is at work, that the good news is for all people, as he proclaimed to the shepherds, that the good news comes to those working in the fields, that the good news comes to the foreigner who doesn't even know the stories, as it did with the wise men. And sometimes our church walls keep us separated from the places that God is at work in our world around us. And that's where Simeon and Anna come in for me, because there's also good news for us. There's certainly good news that God is proclaiming his good news of love and joy to all the world. But God also shows up in church. God shows up in the synagogue. God shows up in the temple. God shows up in the place where Simeon and Anna faithfully worship week after week, day after day, for their entire lives. The good news of this text for me is that while God shows up so often on the margins in places where I might miss his presence because I'm not necessarily there all the time, God also shows up in these sacred spaces, in these still places. God literally walked into the church building, to the religious center, to the synagogue where Simeon and Anna were worshiping. Well, maybe not walked, probably carried by his mother Mary, at 8 days old to be dedicated, where an 84-year-old widow and an elderly man, long-time church people like many gathered here, were waiting their whole life, hoping to see a glimpse of God in their midst. And I wonder, as we think about their role in this Christmas story, as we think about the importance of their waiting, of their learning, of their studying of the scriptures, of their prayer and their fasting, what is it that we expect when we come to church? What is it that we expect when we come into these places of stillness, these sacred spaces? Simeon and Anna saw a baby being carried in for a dedication, much like they had probably seen many, many times before. But they knew this was the Lord. They prepared their hearts. They were ready. They were waiting. They weren't caught off guard. They weren't caught unaware. They expected an encounter with God. They expected an encounter with the Holy Spirit. They expected their lives and their world to be changed. They expected God to show up and God to act. And when he did, they were ready and they knew it. Friends, if anything, that's what this sacred space is for. That's what the church is for. To be that place of quiet, that place set apart from the busyness and the chaos of the world. Because, yeah, there might be some times when God shows up when we're at work like the shepherds, or God shows up in surprising places and catches us off guard. But there are also so many times that we don't notice God in all the busyness and the chaos of our lives. And setting aside this space, coming into these doors, is a way of dedicating ourselves and saying, God, we are here to listen. We're here to learn. We're here to see, what does it look like when you show up? How do we know, how do we recognize you in our midst? And do we expect to have that kind of encounter with the Holy Spirit, as Anna did and as Simeon did? It's a devotional I've been reading this season called Simple Gifts by Diane Huddick. This is how she describes the story of Simeon and Anna. She says, like Simeon and Anna, we are called into the winter to see the beauty of waiting. Darkness waiting for light. Silence waiting for song. Hearts waiting for love. We're called to a deep inner conversion. And along the way, light fades, and our determination wears thin. We want to rest. Sometimes we want to quit. We don't want to hurt anymore. We wait and we wait and we wait and we hope and despair and we cling to whatever reassurances we can find, and we learn to discover the promises of new life in places where we never imagined it possible before. In the darkness and the silence of uncertainty, we find people who remind us of this promise. People who believe in us when we struggle to believe in ourselves. People who call us to be faithful when we drift away, and who hold us when we need to be held. We no longer need to be afraid of the dark. We need not be discouraged because we are held in God's love. No one can take away the pain of being human, but God comes to us in the darkness. In the silence you hear, you are loved and lovable because God created you. And this love calls us to be gentle to ourselves and to others, to grow and to change, and above all, to trust. God's love awakens in us a deep faith of promises made, kept, broken, and reconciled. Out of the silence comes the promise of incarnation, the Word made flesh, God dwelling among us. And out of that silence, we must go and proclaim the love of God alive and dwelling in our midst. We love as Jesus loved us. We're called to bring healing to those who hurt, to gather people into a loving embrace, to cry out at the horrors of oppression and destruction, to cherish the simple gifts of creation in all of its varied forms. We must become the word of love spoken by God in our hearts. We must become the good news made flesh for our world. And so the question for us as this year passes and we enter into the new is, how will we embrace what we encounter here in this space throughout the year? How will we embrace and be transformed by those people in our lives and in our church who offer us that love and encouragement and hope, who strengthen our faith, who hold faith for us and speak affirmations of faith week in, week out, even when we're not sure we believe it ourselves? The people that keep making us get out of bed on a Sunday morning to come here, not just for ourselves, but to be here for one another, to care for one another, to support one another, to look together expectantly for the Christ who will show up in surprising ways and surprising places among us. Our invitation is the invitation we've had throughout this entire season. An invitation to slow down. An invitation to simplify our lives. To choose gratitude and thankfulness. To embrace mystery. And to be intentional about our time in sacred space and silence in worship together as Simeon and Anna, expecting God to do something, expecting God to show up and move and transform your lives. But it doesn't happen automatically. God is moving everywhere. God is showing up everywhere. But it's so easy to go unnoticed. And that's why I offer one final simple gift for the season. And I'll have these available for those who aren't here today as well. Y'all received one of these little brown journals. Very, very simple. I had Ariana count the pages for me just to make sure it would work. She said there's 60 pages if you count front and back. 30 pages, 60 in here. And there's at least 14, 15, 16 lines on each page. So that averages out to about 2 lines per day. Ish, or per week, however you want to do it, days, weeks. But either way, there's more than enough for one page per week of the 52 weeks of the year. I'm not asking you to write a novel. Not asking the great American bestseller or anything like that. This is really for the purpose of being intentional like Simeon and Anna this year, of noticing where God is showing up. Just take a line, jot the date down, 1/1/24, little dash. Where did I see God in my life today? Where did I see God in the world today? Did I see something on TV, some story that inspired hope and encouragement, and thought, you know what, God's in that? Did I have an opportunity to share love or care with someone who really needed it? Jot it down, just a couple words, a phrase, no more than a line or two. Just to reflect. Maybe there's some days you get to the end of the day and you're like, you know what, I don't even know if I noticed God at all today. It's been a rough day. I don't even know if he was here. And at that point, we might just leave a blank. Or we might just offer a little prayer that says, God, I don't know where the heck you were today. I needed you, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't feel it. Please show me your grace tomorrow. And let me trust that you are with me through the night. As simple as that. At the end of the year, you can go back and look and reflect at those moments that you would have never noticed otherwise. Maybe even at those blank spaces and see the bigger pattern. What was going on in those blank spaces? What was God working that we didn't see at the time, but maybe later on we look back and think, oh yeah, that's what God was up to during that season. Such a simple little exercise. St. Ignatius did it more formally. He called it a prayer of examine. Examining our lives at the end of each day, reflecting on the highs and the lows of each day, reflecting on the places where we felt closest to God and the places where we felt furthest away. You can do it as detailed as you want. If you want to get a bigger journal and really dig into that, if you want resources on a more formal examine prayer, I can give you books, I can give you resources, and give you websites. There's all sorts of ways to expand it, but it begins with just this simple noticing. You might want to title your journal. Some call them God sightings. Some call them holy moments. I like whispers of heaven as the whispers of God in our lives. That still small voice that we're called to echo in the world. Whatever you want to call it. It might even be just a simple moment of noticing the beauty around you. Noticing that flower blooming that you didn't really pay attention to before and stopping to actually look and wonder and give thanks for creation. There's all sorts of ways, so simple, and yet so difficult. But I want you to hold on to this. I want you to give it a title. I want you to reflect on this throughout the year. And we're going to have opportunities throughout 2024. Each Communion Sunday, I'm going to have a basket available. That if there are one or two or three of the ones that you write down throughout the month that you'd like to share anonymously with the congregation to encourage and inspire us, there'll be little notes or cards or something to be able to jot one or two of them down on out of your journal and bring it up. And we'll share those anonymously with the congregation so that we can encourage one another this year, as Simeon and Anna did when they encountered Christ in their midst. When God came to them, to the place where they were, and then they went out and proclaimed, "We have seen the Lord. We've seen his presence." And we have an opportunity then, each time we come to the table, to share with one another, look, God is present with us. God is present in our community. This is how he's showing up. Look, let me show you. You didn't see him this week, this month? Here, let me show you where I saw him. Maybe you'll see him next month when I don't. And I'll need to hear that story too. We can encourage one another with these sightings, these moments, these beautiful, simple gifts throughout the year. So I hope you'll hold on to those and wrestle through that each night in the new year, or each morning, or whenever it fits your schedule. It doesn't have to be anything big. Just a simple little gift that we offer to ourselves, to one another, and to God, to notice, to recognize, to give thanks that he showed up for us, even here in church. And so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come and thank you so much that though not all of us, like the shepherds and the wise men and others, have an opportunity to come to the places on the outer edges of society where you are at work, where you are being born anew in the lives of so many, you come to us where we are. You honor our faithfulness and our persistence a commitment to showing up week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And you come into our midst and remind us that we are not alone, that our hope is not in vain, that our trust is well placed in you because you always keep your promises. Lord, open us to examine our lives, to be intentional about Simeon and Anna, like Simeon and Anna, to be aware of those places you are showing up, places we may not have otherwise noticed, and to share those joyous stories with others, to encourage others, to get to the end of 2024 and not look back and say, oh, wow, what a miserable year. I'm so glad that's over, as we do so often. But to say, Lord, wow, look how you showed up among us. Look at all the ways that your kingdom is coming and being fulfilled, and that your love is being shed abroad through all the earth. Open our eyes and our hearts to hear your whispers, as you and the prophets spoke so often. Let those who have eyes to see, see. Those who have ears to hear, hear. Give us eyes and ears and hearts to hear, to notice, and to share your love as we encounter you each and every day in this new year. In Jesus' precious name we pray.